Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf. Nida Samach Kimol. We're on top of the Amad Ezeur Ektafel Vachul. So back to the Mishnah, where we had the list of seven cleansing agents, seven detergents, which can be applied to a stain, which if it gets removed or even faded by these detergents, that will determine for us that in fact it was a blood stain. It was damnida. So the first item on the list is roik tuffel. Roik is saliva. Tuffel means raw. Tuffel is used to describe an unsalted dish. And likewise, away it means unadulterated saliva. Tana, we're going to Nebraisa. What does this mean, roik tuffel? Kol shalei tam klum be'erev. The fellow hadn't eaten anything from nighttime. So it's fresh, raw saliva, unaffected by any foods, which retained its potency and strength and can be used to treat the stain. Savar Papa Kamedi Rav Lemeir, Papa in front of Rav suggested, he thought, mi be'erev means from the previous night he's fasting. Commander Omar, like a person says, lo yitam mi debut, he hasn't tasted anything since the night. So throughout the night, into the morning, Amalei Rav, no, not that far back. Miktani be'erev, does the Brisa say he hadn't eaten anything since nighttime? Mi be'erev katani. So meaning during nighttime he ate. It's just from when the night was over until now. Meaning no breakfast, but he had dinner last night. Lafuki as opposed to, right? So be'erev means he didn't eat throughout the night. Mi be'erev katani. It says from when the night was over until now. Lafuki as opposed to hecha dekadim va'achal, as opposed to a fellow got up early and ate breakfast. So roik tuffel is untouched, unaffected by breakfast. Amar Rabba, Bar Bar Chana, Amar Bi'echa. Ezeu roik tuffel. What qualifies as roik tuffel? Kol she'avar olav chatzois laila b'shina. He went through midnight, u'b'shina, in a sleeping state. So that gives it its special status. Remember, do you mean to say the b'shina tali milsi has to be sleeping for the roik to qualify? But nan or v'atanya, we have a brisa. It's unrelated to sleep or wakefulness. It's related to the time, day or night. Yoshin kalayim. Suppose he was asleep all day, was jet lagged from a big trip. He's sleeping all day. When he wakes up, he doesn't have roik tuffel. Ain't a roik tuffel because it's daytime. Neir kalalayla. On the other hand, if it was throughout the night and he was awake, how is it roik tuffel? In the morning, he has roik tuffel. Apparently, sleep is not a precondition. This fellow wasn't fully awake. He was sort of half-dozing. That also qualifies and will generate roik tuffel. How do you qualify misnamnim? Omar of Ashi, nim v'lo nim. He's sort of asleep, but not really fully asleep. Tir, he's awake, v'lo tir, not fully awake. Somewhere in the middle, hovering between sleep and wakefulness. The kari levani, for instance, you call him. Hey, yassal, he said, But he still cannot respond with something that needs deep thinking. He can't respond with a svara. But if you jog his memory, you remember that deep point? Yeah. Oh, so he can't initiate something deep, but he can relate to it to some extent. So that's still enough to qualify. And if this happened throughout the night, in the morning he has roik tuffel. Tana, we learned in the Brisa. Not only does breakfast deactivate the roik, but even an abundance of speech. Tana hishkim mishana pirke, gets up early and he starts learning. Ein ze roik tuffel, so the speech will weaken, will dilute the saliva. Latkam, how much speaking? Amar vita bar shila, amar ashi, amar reb lazar. The amount of words that a person typically speaks in 3 hours, so the most, the majority of that number, kol shiyotza roik dibur shal shoshoyis, he expressed most of the words that can be expressed within 3 hours, which is typically spoken in Asul Adaba, Rashi said B'shal Ashoy, so most of that will have a diluting effect on the Reich. Okay, so we now know the first item in the list, Reich Tuffel, needs to be fresh saliva, unaffected by food, by too much talking. he has to have gone through the night in a somewhat sleeping state. And then in the morning, bingo, he has roik tafel for the stain. Make recently, Issa's grisen shall pull. The next item is the juice of the chewed grisen are half beans. Pull is a full bean, and a grisen are split. So he chews that, and you have make grisen, which sounds like it must be accompanied by saliva, right? So it sounds like saliva is meant to go along. Lema mesel Rish Lakish. Perhaps this proves Rish Lakish's point. Amar Rish Lakish, roik tafel isn't only its own detergent. It's also something which must accompany the other ones, such as the grisen, which have to be chewed through and mixed with that saliva. They have to accompany all the other ones as well. Well, says the Gemara, no, maybe it's not the saliva that's doing the trick. Dilma havla de puma ma'ali, it's the warmth, the humidity in the mouth that has the effect on the grisen, but it's not the saliva per se. Now, masnisen liquor of Yehuda, the Mishnah that speaks about chewing the grisen to create, is unlike Rabbi Yehuda's recipe. The Sani Bido Eimer make grisen reiseach. The grisen aren't chewed, rather it's been cooked up. That is the make grisen that we use. V'oiver, and he adds v'oiver, and it's prior to adding salt. It has to be raw, unseasoned. Sheitan seichem melach. V'oiver means before, precede. My mashma, what do we find elsewhere? The high that this word oiver means lishna dagdumiyut, it's an expression of preceding, a preceding event, going ahead of something. We have three sources. Amakra, the first pasuk is vayar zachimatz, derech hakiki, ran through the square, vayavar, and he went ahead of esakushi. Abaya, amar mihacha, different pasuk. Vuavar lufneim, Yaakov Avinu, went ahead of his family. Vayasem mihacha, or you have another source. Vayavar malkum lufneim, basham baroisham, so the king went ahead. Oiver means to go ahead. Meraglam sheichmitzu, we have the putrid wastewater. How long do we have to wait for it to beget the hachmatza, to this acidic state? Tano, kamachimutzam, shloshe yom, 3 days old. Amar b'yechanan, but we still don't know 100% exactly how to generate the what exactly is needed here, because there are unknown elements as well. Who's meraglam? Of a young man, of an older man? Man, woman, covered, So even though we do present some guidelines and parameters to the stain removal items, but tzorach shiur, we have to add more guidelines, more parameters l'shiur onto the ones already established. Meaning, question: the yelad adizakan, the miraglayim. We know it has to be 3 days old, but from a young man, from a younger person, or an older man, Rashi says. The older one, malot fei, perhaps is better, is stronger. The isha, man or woman, b'chusim megulim, covered or uncovered, from summer or winter. So these are, at this point, as yet unknown. V'tzorach l'kaskas shalosh pamim. So the stain must be scrubbed 3 times with each one of these agents. Now, typically when we scrub, we go to, right, and fro, back and forth, right? So 3 times means 3 times back and forth, or each motion, each direction considered one, for a total of 3. Boder b'yirmi, I'm tuyi, going forward, basui, and coming back. That double scrub. Chad is one, it's one set. Or, I'm tuyi, basui, tarti, each direction is separate, so to and fro is two. My, which way is this take? Hevinu shleik esidron. Now these are stain removers. Will only work if they're done in sequence. First one, then comes the second, all the way to 7. But if it's out of order, or in reverse, it's not a true indicator of anything, because it won't work that way. Tanu Rabbanan, hiktiv shniim l'rishonim. So let's say he has all 7 lined up. Let's just split it into 2 right now. 2 categories. 7 is split into 3. 1, 2, 3. And then comes another set, another group of 4, 5, 6, and 7. So first you meant to do 1, 2, 3, and then comes the next group, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Let's say he flipped it. Hiktim shniim, he took the set, the group of 4, and did it first. The rishon before the set of 3. Tani chada. So one brisa says, shniim aloloi. Rishonim, loy olo loy. The second set works, but not the first ones. Because he reversed. He did the group of four, which is meant to be second. He did it first. That doesn't count. Rishonim loy olo loy, but the ones that followed, 1, 2, 3, okay, that can be used for the next sequence. Just continue on, 4, 5, 6, and 7. That's pretty straightforward. But Tani Yitach, we have another brayso, which actually words it the other way around. Rishonim loy olo loy, the first ones work, which is surprising. Shnim loy olo loy, not the second group. I'm Abaye, how do you explain this? Says Abaye, really, there's no machlekes. It's just a different reference point. Idvidi, both brayses agree. Shnim loy olo loy, will it rishonim? It's only the second group that works. The 1, 2, and 3. To begin the next sequence of 7. Of course, that's on the record. But not the one that he actually did first. The first group of 4. Obsolete. My Rishonim. What does the Brisa mean when it says the first ones worked? It means the second, but it's calling it the first. Rishonim Kesidron. They were meant to go first. Of course, Ushnim. It so happens to be that they were second. Labarasim to the actually being applied. Okay, so bottom line is, he meant to do it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Let's say he does the group of 4 before the 3. So that's out. And he picks up from where he left off. So the 1, 2, and 3 are good. 4, 5, 6, and 7 has to be added to complete that sequence. Okay, so we learned about the ingredients required for testing of the stain and removing of the stain of the Dam Nida. We have Roik Tuffel, fresh saliva from a sleepy night. Unbreakfasted and unspoken. We have the megrisim, two definitions, either chewed or cooked. The meraglim, 3 days old. And we need a three-way scrub. And of course, provided they're done in order and sequence. Continues the Mishnah. Kol isha sheish lavest dayashat. A vest is a regular trigger, which triggers the Isha's period. Now, it can come in many forms. It could be calendar-related. So every 25th of the month, Hanukkah, right? Every 25th of the month, we have Dam coming. Or it can be calendar-related, but a bit different. More in terms of a stretch of time. So every 30 days, she'll see. Unrelated to the calendar, per se. Then we have personal triggers. Every time she exercises, etc. We also have sort of third-rate triggers, which aren't so personal, more like dietary. She's known to sit down when she eats, you know, a certain type of food, garlic, etc. So an Isha has this sort of anticipated schedule. She knows that XYZ triggers Dam. Kol Isha Yesh Laves, Dayashat. In this case, it's sufficient for her to be concerned about her Dam as soon as she sees it going forward, as opposed to the standard takana we learned back in the phase of Meis Leis. If she sees Dam today, we're concerned going back 24 hours, perhaps the Dam is already there somewhat. No. In this case, you know, this event is what triggers the Dam. Let's presume what you see is what you get, and it wasn't there before. Examples of Vestas are as follows. Ve'elohina Vestas. Mfahekas. She stretches, just exercise, which is known to trigger the Dam. Uma'atesha sneezes, uchashesh v'kresa. Ubishpulimeya, or she feels some sensation in her belly or further down. Bishifas, or a woman who's already discharging. The Gemara will ask, we're assuming that she's seeing Dam. Well, if she's seeing Dam all the time, then she's in any case a Nida at all times. Another example, Uchmin Tzmar Moirois, Uchsen Oisa, she's gripped by some sort of fevers when she expects her period. V'chein, and likewise, similar phenomena, Kaitze Behen. In all these cases, V'chol Shekovel HaShloish HaPamer is a vest. If it happened 3 times, that's a true indication that in fact this is a regular trigger, and she's considered Ishi Yesh Leves. Now the Gemara will explain that the number 3, this thrice repetition, isn't always required, depending on how closely linked, how, you know, pronounced the events are. We'll see in the Gemara. In some cases, even 1 time, some twice, some require 3. Depending how strong of an indicator it is. Tanina Chada Zimna asked the Gemara, Why even discuss this again? We had it back on that base when we started the Masechta, right? Remember, Kalisha Yishlavest, Ayashat, a woman that has an expected pattern, expected schedule. And then Dayashata. What's the repetition about? Some of Vestas the Yemi, different types of Vestas. There it was about calendar related Vestas. On this day of the month, as Rashi says, Kigoy Mitzvah Tezvav, every 15th day, or every 15 days, you know, in between period. Hachva Vestas the Gufa, here we add a new category, a new grouping of Vestas. Body, physical, personal related Vestas. Ketanya, the Mishnah, prints it out for us. Elohim Vestas, Vesim Fahekis, right? All these physical experiences which are known to trigger dam, Ma'ateshes, V'chosheshes, V'kresa, U'v'shipulimeya, V'sheifas. Now comes the big question, V'sheifas, Hoshafa V'azlov, she's singing all the time, then what do you mean vest? Vest means is a regular, you know, schedule, anticipated and expected time for the arrival. Oh, she's singing all the time. Amar Ula Breder V'loi, no, she's not saying dam tummy all the time, of course not, V'sheifas, return tummy be'ez, dam tummy mitech dam tor. Before she has her regular period, the preceding event is dam tohar. She sees some sort of discharge, some sort of liquid, which is a heralder of the upcoming period. It also qualifies as a vest, as an indicator for what's coming. So after listing specific, you know, symptoms and conditions, Mishnah adds, v'cheina likewise kayetze behen, which is coming to cover another unmentioned, you know, phenomena. So what's it coming to cover? Amar Rabbi Ula, indicators which are less powerful. Lasuya to cover Isha Shiraisha Kovid Aleo, a woman whose head is heavy on her, she has some sort of general feeling of weakness as she's about to see her period. Vivarea Kvid Maleo, body's sort of heavy, very sesses, she's quivering, Vagoisa, yawning. So all these are, you know, qualifying vestas, but as we're going to see in a minute, they're not as powerful, you know, indicators as the other ones. Amar Rav Huna bar Chiya bar Shmuel. In fact, we have three categories regarding, you know, levels of vestas and how soon, how often they have to happen to be considered established indicators. Hari Amru. In fact, the Chum taught us Liyam Shnai. If it's a calendar-related vest, she's known to see every 25th. Twice is enough to establish that. So once it happens twice, it's an established track record. Levestes achas. But regarding matters of personal vestes, personal bodily symptoms, those are more closely linked, more closely related triggers, even once is enough to establish a vest. Regarding those other indicators which were not actually expressed by the Chachamim in the Mishnah, so there are lesser indicators. For that, we need three times to really establish a Shlesha. What's that coming to cover? What we just mentioned before, our general weakness, etc. What is that covering? Which are weaker indicators, and are there in order to really establish it as a foolproof vest, she needs to do it three times. And then you have it as an established vest. Amalei Abaye. Abaye responded to Rabbi Yosef. My kamash malam. What's the big chiddush of the Chachamim in telling us that on this third, you know, rate vest, it needs three times? Most recently, we had a Mishnah a minute ago. Do Pirsha Rabbi Ra'ula. It was explained to us by Ra'ula that the term v'chenke yitzabem covers those third rate vestes, and the Mishnah clearly says you need three times. Elor Abaye. Therefore, Abaye says, look, I'm going to expand it a bit. Lasui achloshum. It's going to cover another category, which shares, you know, similar status to the third rate category we just discussed. Dietary triggers, which are sort of relatively external. So they qualify as vestes, but they need to happen three times in order to become a vest. Lasui achloshum v'rasa, woman who ate garlic and saw dam as a result of achla, butzol v'rasa, or garlic, or onions. Kisses a pilpulim barasa, kus a pilpulim, she chewed some peppers barasa. Okay, so conclusion. What qualifies as a vest? Well, we have three different levels of vest. We have something called vest haguf, very profound, pronounced symptom. hekes, ma'ateshes, all those, even one time qualifies as a vest. You see that this causes, this triggers dam, or this is an indicator of the oncoming period. It's an established vest. Something which is calendar related. So it's a bit less personal, a notch lower, twice. If it's something a little bit more external than that, like a general weakness, which isn't necessarily directly linked, you know, it's not such a profound, an obvious link and trigger, or dietary. Elements, so these require three times. So it has to be established by having it done three times. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, you know, interesting statement from Shmuel. So the friendship between different types of vestas, this takes once, this takes twice. L'shmeli ha'shmata, we know Rav Yosef fell ill and he forgot a lot of his learning. He said, you know, I don't recall. Psh, interesting. Never heard of this interesting halach. Amrulei Abai, Abai would respectfully, Abai was a Talmud, he would respectfully jog his memory and restore his self-esteem, self-confidence, and he would say, look, you yourself taught it to us. At Amri Sanialon. You, Rebbe, taught it to us. V'aha Amri Sanialon. And you taught it to us in the following Mishnah, coming up later in today's daf. Mishnah says like this, Hoysalim Mudalius Roya Yom Chamisha Asar. Suppose she had a regular pattern to experience dam every 15 days. Yom Chamisha Asar. V'shinsa, and 1 month she switched. Le'im Esrim, until day 20. Since she had 15 as an established vest, she doesn't lose that. She's still bound to that day. So day 15, the next time, day 15, she has to refrain from her husband because perhaps she'll see dam. And likewise, day 20, which has been introduced into her life, and perhaps that's going to take on the new Yom HaVest status, so she has to be concerned about both days. Shalish Pavim Yom Eshrim, let's say, she diverted three times to day 20. That frees day 15. So going forward, day 15 is now free because she eradicated that track record. And now she established for herself day 20. This is the rule. A woman cannot establish a vest. Listen, it happens three times. And by the same token, it undoes the previous vest. End quote. And you yourself, Rabbi Yosef, added to that Mishnah in the name of Shmuel, Amar Bidamar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. This is who speaking, Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Bar Rebbe. Shamar was quoting Mishum, the name of Rabbi Shim Gamliel, who typically requires three times to establish a chazaka. Famous machlokes between Rebbe, who says twice. Just a mere repetition is sufficient to establish a track record, a chazaka, whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel requires a third time to establish chazaka. So that's why it's only considered a newly established vest if it happened three times. Three times on day 20, she has her vest. Aval chachamim, chachamim disagree. They don't require three times. Ru'aso. If she saw just one time, she need not repeat, or certainly three times. One is enough to establish a vest. Now, the obvious question was, and we asked you, this is Rav Yosef speaking, Rabbi speaking to Rav Yosef, after your presentation, one's enough. We don't need twice or three times. Well, if twice is not needed, then certainly three times. Isn't that redundant? We asked you. Lishnas Amrslan. Once you told us that twice is not needed, once is enough, then of course you don't need three times. Lishalishman. But it goes without saying that three is not needed. Amrslan, you explained to us. It all depends on the type of vest that we're trying to establish. Depends how apparent. Depends how closely linked it is to the period. Amrslan alone. alone. Lishnis bevestis. When I said that twice is not needed, which means to say a single episode is enough to establish a vest, that's by those strong personal expressions, those personal vestis, what we call vest haguf, exercise, right? All the personal indicators, one is enough to establish a link. When I said you don't need it three times, which indicates that twice is needed, that's by the next ring of vestis, l'shalish b'yam. That's when it's calendar related, which isn't so personal, isn't so direct. So in that case, one is not enough to really, really establish a track record. You need to have it at least twice. Then you have a vest. Okay, so in any case, Abaye pointed out to Rav Yosef that you yourself, Rav Yosef, taught us the same point. That in terms of how many times are needed to establish a vest, it all depends on the type of vest. The more personal, the less you need. Now the question is, v'neim mazu divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. Back to the quote of Shmuel quoting Rav Gamliel by Rebbe, who quotes, why go through all those steps? Why doesn't he just say zu divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel? The requirement of three times Rav Shimon Gamliel, which is a well-known opinion, that three make a chazaka. Why do you have to relate it to Rav Gamliel or quote Rebbe? How come Ashman? The reason why he related to Rav Gamliel b'Rebbe, how come Ashman Shmuel? Shmuel was teaching us to Rav Gamliel b'Rebbe that Rav Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, Rav Shimon Gamliel Sfirle, is aligned with Rav Gamliel's Shita, which is important to know. Then, in fact, he goes with that opinion, the Chazaka needs three times. Okay, so in conclusion, we learned about the concept of a vest, Isha that has a vest. So, in a way, she has a discount. Daya Shata, we'll see in the next Mishnah. That actually, it comes along with an obligation as well, because at the time of vest, since she's prone to have dam, she has to conduct herself accordingly. But in any case, first for the kula, we discount the back concern, the meis leis concern, because we presume as soon as the vest showed up, the dam comes along, and it wasn't there until now. Examples of vests are, well, we have three types. Vest haguf to start, the exercising, the sneezing, all that, which are actually physical, strong physical indicators of preceding events preceding the period, in which case, Gemara says, even one time, once you have that linkage, even one time, establishes a vest. We have vestes of yomim, calendar related, day of the month, or the lapse of time between periods. For that we need twice to establish a vest. And then we have the third group of weaker vestes, overall weakness or dietary related, in which case you need three times to establish a vest. It says the Mishnah. Hoysa limuda. So limuda means that she was accustomed. She had a track record. Hoysa limuda liyisroi b'tchilas ha-vestes. She had a vest. And let's say, the vest, let's go with the first one, exercising. So the exercising session at the gym is 45 minutes. And she typically would see at the beginning of that session, as soon as she begins stretching, she sees the dam. Right? Sometimes it came in the beginning, sometimes a woman would have it come at the end only. She was known to have it at the beginning. So we assume dam arrived at that point, and therefore call it taharis. All taharis materials that she interacted with, is throughout that workout period, Tmeyas, because it's presumed that she already had her dam at the beginning of that experience. Conversely, if she was accustomed to seeing the dam at the end of her exercise session, so until that point she's safe. Whatever she did during the stretching period, Atahiris. Rabbi Omer, not only when it comes to vestes haguf, can we split hairs? Af yamim v'shoyis vestes. Likewise, when it comes to calendar-related vestes, so it doesn't necessarily write off the whole day. She's known to have seen, every 20th of a month at the sixth hour. Sixth hour means, let's say, day starts at six, So when she gets to 11 o'clock, from 11 to 12, that's her vest. So only that hour is in question. For example, let's say her vest was to see at sunrise. So the preceding night she's free and clear. It's only the point, the time of Netzachama, which is in question. But past that point, again, she's okay. If she knows she hadn't seen. Rabbi Da'ima Kalayim Shalom. Rabbi Da'ima disagrees. He says that the Isser covers the whole Oina. The Oina means the unit of time, the time frame, which is either a full day or a full night. So the Oina of the vest, Oina that the vest falls out in, is also Asr. Versus Rabbi Yesi, who says only the fragment of time which she is accustomed to seeing, only that's covered, only that's Asr. But the rest of it is okay. Rabbi Yesi says no, the whole day is affected. Tanu Rabbi Natan Abraisa, that explains this further. Keitzad and Rabbi Yesi, Yomim Mishoyis Vestis. How do we apply Rabbi Yesi's concept that vest applies to days and the hours within that day? For example, she would see every 20 days, but not the full day. She had a very specific schedule, very uncommon today, a specific day, a specific hour. She would see at the sixth hour. Every 20th day at 6 hours. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, we pivot back to Rabbi Yehuda for a moment before we go back to Rabbi Yehuda, who's more limiting in his coverage. Rabbi Yehuda says it covers the whole day. So once the day 20 arrives, she's Asr from the first hour. Rabbi Yosi, Mater Acheshois. According to Rabbi Yosi, she's okay until 11 o'clock. And she has to refrain from her husband during that hour, but not past. Over Acheshois, once that hour is gone, it's Chatzois, Fale Rasa, without signing Dam. What happens then? So now we pivot back to Rabbi Yehuda once more before we go back to Rabbi Yosi. Asur Lashamesh Kol Hayim Kul, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, also throughout the day, because Rabbi Yehuda says the whole day, the whole Oina is Asur. But Rabbi Yosi Matar, once Mincha time arrives, which is when the sun starts leaning towards sunset, which means from 12 o'clock and on, she's Mutar, because the Isser is limited to the 11th hour from when the clock strikes 11 until 12. Hoyse Lemutar. Suppose the vest was during Netzachama. Rabbi Yosi says that the following day she's okay, but the previous night, which is when the vest falls in, she's Asr. Batani, Baba Brisa, Rabbi Da'imer, Kalayla Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda seems to say differently than the Mishnah. He says, Kalayla Shalom. Her whole night is okay. It's the day that's Asr. Which is exactly the opposite of our Mishnah, which says the following day is okay, but the night is Asr. The question is like this. The answer is like this. When we speak about the dam arriving by Netzachama stretches over some time. You know, it could be the beginning of Netzachama, which is still the end of the night, or it could be a bit later, which is the beginning of the day. When exactly did this happen? Like, gosh, how did Regil raise Petchila Simama? When the Braisa here says that by day she's Asr and by night she's Mutar. So let's just frame it. She has a regilus to see Netzachama. Let's say Netzachama of Monday morning. So if the derech was for her to see Tchilas Yimama, as soon as it's legally day, right, as soon as the sun rises, so her Oina is daytime, and the whole day is covered, versus the previous night, Sunday night, which is Mutar. But how about our Mishnah speaking to Regil Liris B'Sef Lelio? When we say Netzachama, it doesn't mean after sunrise. It means as the sun is about to rise, the end of the night. So the night is really affected, and she's also throughout the night. And Mutar, Monday morning. Tani Chada. Now comes another bright which seems to contradict within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Tani Chada, one quote of Rabbi Yehuda is like this. Rabbi Yehuda Oisro Lufnei Vesta. Quote Rabbi Yehuda, she's forbidden before the vest, before the time of the the appointed time. Umatir lachavesta, but afterwards she's mut. Tanidach, another rice, which goes exactly the opposite. Oisur lachavesta, she's usher after the expected arrival of her period. Umatir, and Rida would allow her to fnevesta beforehand, like Kashi. Again, the answer is like we said before. Kotar Buda, it's the oinas havest, it's that time zone of the vest, which is usher. But it depends when the best will fall out. Like Kashi. How do regular messages say for Lelia? If she typically sees at the end of the night, so it's the tail end of the night, and the night is considered Oinas Vesta. So she's also before the vest, but once daybreak arrives, Monday morning, she's okay, because the vest is passed. How do regular messages tell Simama versus the other Brisa, where she typically sees the beginning of the day, at, you know, as daybreak happens? So in this case, she's mutter prior throughout the night, but usher throughout the next day. Amar Rava, halacha is Rabbi Yehuda that the whole time frame, the whole oina is usher, not just the moment of vest. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Umi Amar Rava hachi, that's all that according to Rava, it is so. Vatani Rava Brisa, vizartim is bnei Yisrael mitumasim. Vizartim here means to separate bnei Yisrael from the tumah, and we learn, and later on the pasuk speaks about a nida, so we connect it, and we say, look, in terms of nida, it's not just once she's already tummy. You must take precaution, says the Torah. Mikan, based on this pasuk, Omer Rav Yirmiya as hara. There's a warning to Bnei Yisrael. Sheyiv Rishum is the same. They should separate from their wives a bit before they expect trouble. Samach levestan, near the vest. Vekam how far back? Omer Rav Oina. An extra unit of time. My Lavna, the Gemara is assuming Oina Achriti, he meant to say, in addition to the oina of the vest itself, let's say the vest expected Monday by day. And on top of that, we have also Sunday night off. Loi! Oisa oina. He meant only that oina. The oina of the actual vest, not prior. So basically, Rava is very consistent with his earlier statement, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, that the oina of the vest is awesome. Now the question is, why the repetition? Why does he have to say it twice? Here he says, you have to separate the oinas havest, and earlier he says, al kar yuda, likewise. Without ilam mitzricha, each one has its point. Yashmina ha. Because if only from the first statement, aligning ourselves with Rabbi Yehuda, to forbid the oinas havest, havamina anamila tahar, I would say it's specific to tahar's issues. If she touched a banana, she touched an apple, avala balaloi, when it comes to interacting with her husband, perhaps, is no issue, even though the Oinas Havest, as we find back in the beginning of Al Masechta, the whole Tumah Meis Leis is specific to Taharis, which have higher standards. Kamash, when comes the second quotation of Rava, which relates to the Pasuk, Avizarta Bnei Yisrael, to keep away from their wives, which relates to husband-wife relationship, that Oinas Havest is meant to be observed as well. Kamash, okay, that explains why he needed that presentation. If only from that second presentation, I mean, I would say Samach Levesta, Oina Achriti. The term Samach Levesta discussed in that Braisa means, in addition to the Oina of the Vest itself, the preceding Oina is Asr as well, Kamashwan Oisa Oina. Hence, we have the statement, Halka Yehuda, that only the Oina Savest itself is included, but not the Oina prior. Of course, we know in Halacha there's a Shita or Zeruah that covers even the prior Oina, which is a chumrah on top of the actual halachic requirement of oisa oina. Okay, so in conclusion, so in this mission we learned the flip side of having a vest, that even though she hadn't yet experienced dam, she is considered to be off limits asr regarding taharis, regarding her husband, for a very real concern that in fact her dam would arrive as soon as these triggers have been reached, have been experienced. And the question is, to what extent, how far do we expand the vest? Rabbi Yisi says, only that specific hour, not prior, not after. Rabbi Yisi says, it's going a bit too narrow. You have to expand it an entire oino, which means to say, if the vest is during daytime, that whole day is treated accordingly, and likewise, during a nighttime vest. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabba.